Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Have you Googled how you're feeling lately? Perhaps you have searched online for wellness tips. Well, there's a growing number of people accessing their mental health care needs online. But is it always best? Well, joining me now here in the studio, I have GP Dr. Harry Barry. And from Limerick, I'm joined by psychology professor Anne-Marie Craven. And Anne-Marie, I'm going to come to you first because you have some interesting statistics for us on the number of people who are looking to the internet for their mental well-being needs. There's a lot of people doing it.
There definitely is. And I mean, all credit to my colleague, Dr. Ruth Melia, who's doing a lot of research in this area as well, in this space of digital mental health. And I think some statistics that really stand out to me, that in Ireland last year alone, the yourmentalhealth.ie website recorded 2.5 million page views. That's a lot of views. Mm-hmm. And we have about 1,000 people a month using free guided online cognitive behavioural therapy provided by the HSE and SilverCloud. And since 2020, when the 50808 text about it line was launched, so you simply text hello to 50808, there's been nearly 250,000 conversations had offering mental health support with that text line. And that's before, Claire, we even talk about online counselling, for example. So I think those numbers are really, really impressive.
And Harry, it does offer a little bit of anonymity, doesn't it, when people are going online for those types of services?
Yeah, I suppose at one level that would seem to be an enormous advantage or plus. Do you know what I mean? I suppose I would just immediately put a certain amount of caution in there. It gives the person anonymity, but, you know, as any doctor or therapist will tell you, unless I can see the person,
yes.
Unless I can watch them walk in the door, unless I can see their facial expressions, their body language, I can learn so much. Like, mm-hmm. It's not what you necessarily say. It's particularly what you, if you're texting, do you know what I mean? There may be so much other stuff that's been not talked about at all that might be really relevant to you. Do you know? Now, let's put it like this. Anything is better than silence. Do you know what I mean? In the sense of, if you are in trouble and you need to reach out for help, please do, in any form that you feel appropriate.
Well, that's a good bottom line.
Yes.
But it's just interesting what you say about needing to see somebody to get a full read of them.
Yeah.
So if you're seeing somebody on a Zoom call on a screen, are you saying that's not the same?
It's not the same. And it's very interesting, as I was with a few colleagues last night, and we were just talking about this, you know, and like we all feel the same, that we learn as doctors, therapists, counsellors, whatever, much more as the person walks in the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And as they sit down and they interact with you, you're watching their facial expressions, their eye movements, their body language, everything about them. And you are absorbing all this information instinctively because that's what you do. And so much of our mental health is concerned with how you are. Do you know? And even down to one doctor I thought made a very interesting point last night. He said, you know, what we're missing, and we're missing it on Zoom, by the way, is the appearance of the person. Do you know what I mean? It's an obvious thing that, like, to lots of people might seem irrelevant, but actually how you present yourself is actually very important.
So when you see someone walking into a room, you're watching the body language, like how are they holding their head and their shoulders?
Their shoulders. You can see it, like, if, for example, my instinct might be, for example, this person looks very down. Do you know what I mean? And that might be a first instinct, the way they walk in, the speed at which they do things. So I'm learning all that information. So I might have already put that into my possibilities and I'm already starting to look for it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the person who bounces in and is full of life and all the rest of it, well, you know, there's not very much going on. There's not a lot wrong.
Yes.
Here, do you know what I mean? So you're learning an awful lot through this.
Okay. You know? But Anne-Marie, you see, there are some people who will never walk into the room to meet a Harry or one of his colleagues. And really, that's where the digital services come into their own, right?
Yeah. And I completely agree with everything Harry said. And I think most people attending services want the people they're meeting to have that visual and to have all that extra information. But sometimes that's not feasible for people, especially for young people. So young people might be limited in how they can access mental health support. So they mightn't have employee support support services through their employment. They might have the means to travel to face-to-face counselling appointments, or they might want to avail of support more discreetly and they're not interested in face-to-face just yet. So there are a lot of reasons why advances in what we call digital mental health are really welcome for individuals. And certainly, as Harry says as well, something is better than nothing. But sometimes that first conversation by text might lead to somebody reaching out for more significant support. Mm-hmm. So I think that can be very positive.
Or filling in a questionnaire on some of those sites that you mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah, so that yourmentalhealth.ie website has a My Mental Health Plan tool, which is really interesting. So I actually completed it myself last week to see what it would tell me. And it asks some questions about your stress, your sleep, your anxiety levels and so on. And my mental health is quite okay. So I wasn't expecting to learn much from it. But it actually did give me some additional information that was useful for me. So I'd obviously given it a relatively low score for sleep on that particular day. And it said, you need to avoid staying up late for me time. And I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, we're all guilty of that.
Yeah, but it gave me some information as someone with good mental health that I hadn't really reflected on, you know, because we often stay up a bit later, right, when the kids are in bed to claim that time. But it still gave me some information that was useful. And when I completed it, scoring quite high for mental distress, purposefully to see what it would tell me, it quite quickly prompted me to seek professional support. So I think that's still a useful tool for some people. And it's not for everyone and not for severe issues, but still something useful at a population level.
And have you been going to bed earlier?
Well, I did that night, Claire.
Yeah, then you promptly forgot about it, which is what we all tend to do. But the face-to-face for you is essential, certainly at the beginning, Harry.
Yes.
But moving on from there, is it a useful tool then, you know, the next time you see the person?
I think it's very interesting. Like during the pandemic, before the pandemic, the idea of a mental health consultation, anything face-to-face was not to be considered. Mm-hmm. After COVID, we suddenly realised, yes, we could do this. Do you know what I mean? So it's really possible. So, you know, there are clear advantages. I think that's really important to the idea of online, or what they call in America, VCT, video conferencing therapy or whatever like that. But the real one really for me is time and distance. Do you know what I mean? So if there's a distance to be travelled, if you're coming to see a therapist, you might have to take a half day or a day. It might be financially more difficult for you. It might be very awkward to make appointments. All those things make it harder for a person to come to. But the advantages, those advantages, in my opinion, can be outweighed, though, by the fact that you don't, if you're not seeing the person directly, it's very hard, particularly for the first time. I keep coming back to the first time. It's very hard to create an empathy bond.
But if you can see the person initially and then do the thing online.
If I can create an empathy bond and I can see the person and I can see all their language, after that, it doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
That's very interesting.
I'm quite happy.
I've got this person. I know exactly what their issue is. But I think what's very, very important is we don't talk enough about the types of therapy. Do you know what I mean? This is ideal for something like CBT. Perfect for CBT.
Cognitive behavioral therapy.
Absolutely. Or methods, cognitive behavioral methods.
Why is that now?
I think because it's a very practical, you know, interactive thing with the person. Do you know what I mean? And suppose that you were talking about psychoanalysis, for example, or some other forms of therapy, which really involve very deep, much deeper kind of levels of interaction between the therapist and I don't think that they will do so well over a video link. That's my own personal
opinion.
So I think it's perfect for, say, anxiety. I think it's lovely for anxiety, but only on condition that I kind of know what, and I make the correct diagnosis. I worry a lot about these online. I'm certain that if I was really bold enough and went online and started to sign up, have I ADHD? Have I got this? Have I got that? I'm sure I come
up with
10 different conditions.
You probably know the answers they're looking
for.
But
I think the problem is that the biggest problem that I have with people with anxiety is Dr. Google. Mm-hmm. I can't stand Dr. Google. Dr. Google.
Well,
is
there's
a
not
nightmare.
Much you can do about it now, Harry, because we all go there.
No, everybody
first, don't
goes
we?
There. But what I say to people is, just be aware that Dr. Google is an information providing system. It's not a diagnostic system. Do you know what I mean? So, like, what's the difference between me and Dr. Google? Maybe 40 years plus experience. You know? So, in other words, I'm more likely to make the right diagnosis, Whereas if I'm trying to make my own personal diagnosis, I wouldn't say if I had a plumbing problem, go and say, well, now I know what to do. Do you know what I mean? I would say, I haven't a clue what to do here.
Some people try to do that in my house now when it comes to the plumbing. Anne-Marie, coming back to what Harry said there about this being a useful tool when it comes to treatment for anxiety, for CBT, for that sort of therapy as well, but not for deeper psychoanalysis. Do you agree with that?
I think that's fair that we're probably lacking the best quality evidence because these technologies are emerging to see for whom it's most useful. I think beyond the specific therapy that's offered, I think a really important determinant of whether this is beneficial for people is whether they have choice, whether this is what they want. So after an initial meeting with a counsellor or a doctor, whoever that is, if people choose for their own convenience to avoid the travel, or maybe they have physical disabilities that impede their activity level, right? If they choose, now that I've met you and I know you and I've established a bond with you and I trust you and you have a read of me, if I choose these virtual appointments, I think that that's an amazing thing if somebody is choosing that. And I think that's probably more important than any individual type of therapy.
So rather than forcing it, being led by the technology, in other words.
Absolutely. So it's really important as these technologies develop that we're led by what people need fundamentally rather than what we can do. So just because we can offer a virtual service doesn't mean we should. So we did see in the pandemic, for example, lots of children's disability assessments online. That is, I mean, look, it had to be done, but that's not giving the same picture at all. But similarly, if somebody says, look, I've met you three times and we know each other now and a virtual appointment would really suit me with everything that's going on and actually reduce my stress levels, then that would be something I think most clinicians would be supportive of.
Okay, listen, we have to leave it there.